Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Red tide algal blooms have occurred off the coast of western Florida since before the state was heavily developed. The earliest accounts date back to the 1880s. J.N. Ding Darling himself wrote about a massive red tide bloom in the 1940s. But last year, current residents of this part of the state got a firsthand look at how devastating a red tide bloom can get. This most recent bloom lasted about a year and a half, killed off tons of marine life up and down the southwest Florida coast, and crippled our tourist economy. While these blooms can and do occur naturally, their severity and persistence in recent decades seems to indicate that land-based nutrient pollution, like what's flowing into the Gulf from the Caloosahatchee River, must be at least exacerbating the problem. But researchers say there is no conclusive proof of a connection between the two. And now, thanks to legislation signed last week by Governor Ron DeSantis, there's going to be a funding boost to expand research into the causes and impacts of red tide, and to try to develop technologies and approaches to control and mitigate its impacts going forward. It creates what's called the Florida Red Tide Mitigation and Technology Development Initiative, which is a multi-year partnership between the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission's Fish and Wildlife Research Institute and Moat Marine Laboratory. Joining me now to discuss this new partnership and what lies ahead in terms of research is Dr. Michael Crosby. He's president and CEO of Moat Marine Laboratory. Dr. Crosby, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Pleasure to be with you, John.
It's good to talk to you again. And any listeners who would like to add your voice to our discussion, give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So this new legislation signed by the governor establishes what's called the Florida Red Tide Mitigation and Technology Development Initiative. It's a mouthful. Can you describe what that is and what Moat's role is going to be in that going forward?
Sure. Be happy to. This new initiative, which is it's really a game changer because it's a different way of approaching what has been clearly an environmental disaster for Florida on the Gulf Coast and, quite frankly, extending around sometimes to the East Coast as well, in terms of how we are going to approach this. Historically, for the last several decades, there's been an extremely productive partnership, a cooperative red tide research and monitoring program between FWC and Moat and several of our other partners, in which we've learned a great deal about the ecological dynamics, forcing functions related to this red tide, Karenia brevis. But this initiative really takes a different approach that goes far beyond simply researching to learn more about those dynamics and monitoring to also help us understand those dynamics, and actually uses an applied science focus to develop new technologies, new approaches that can be deployed when a red tide does occur so that we can significantly decrease the impacts of a red tide.
So it's going to be providing $3 million a year for 5 years towards this kind of research. And I'm wondering if the direction of the research may be looking to become more certain as to whether or not there is a link to human activity and the increased occurrences of the red tides and the severity of them.
Well, there's a whole suite of coordinated activities that are going on, including this new initiative. I just mentioned that this builds upon a longstanding cooperative red tide research and monitoring program. That program will continue and in fact be expanded to look at some of those questions like the ones of connectivity. In this case, specific question that is of scientific interest is the potential level of contribution of the freshwater algae, the blue-green algal blooms, in terms of contributing to a red tide in coastal environments. But it's worth noting that when you look at the total pool of nutrients, and in this case, just for the sake of discussion, we'll say nitrogen. We'll just look at nitrogen for a second, which is an essential nutrient for Karenia to reach a bloom condition. When you look at the total amount of nitrogen that comes into the system, and keeping in mind that there are 12 or 13 different nutrient complexes that Karenia brevis can use, when you look at the total estrogen input, which includes both anthropogenic or human inputs as well as natural inputs, that total estrogen flux of nitrogen as part of the total nitrogen pool is only approximately 1% of the total nitrogen that is available in the coastal waters for Karenia to use. So while there's no question it contributes to the total pool, this land-based influx, if you will, zooplankton excretia, benthic fluxes, and the dead fish from the Karenia itself produce the overwhelming level of nitrogen that is available. So you can remove all of the estrogen influx of nitrogen, all of it, and there will still be 99% of the nitrogen that was in the pool before you removed that. So the answer to dealing with red tide is not one that we can really control. As you appropriately commented in your opening comments there, red tide is a naturally occurring event, has been occurring since the 1500s, since the Spanish explorers were here. And so it is a bit, I think, misleading for other folks to be talking about, well, if only we can control human activities, we'll get rid of red tide. That's going to lead to a very disappointing result. But there are things that we can do. And by the way, we should control the amount of human inputs from the land into our rivers and estuaries because they have other very serious negative impacts to water quality in the rivers and in the estuaries. So by itself, that's cause for us to control the human impacts. We should do that. But what I'm saying is when it comes to red tide, one should not be naive enough to expect that by controlling human inputs of nutrients, we're going to get rid of red tide. Unfortunately, red tide is here to stay, and we need to approach the answers for decreasing the impacts of red tide by employing applied science initiatives, which is what this new Florida Red Tide Mitigation Technology Development Initiative is all about.
Yeah, and this is focused primarily on red tide, but as you mentioned earlier, you were talking about the potential or the looking closer at the relationship between blue-green algae and red tide.
Absolutely.
But the blue-green algae, I feel like from the reporting we've done over the last couple of years, that's pretty clearly got some links to what's flowing off of our lands, and that's fertilizers and things like that.
I
totally different story from red tide's causes, for sure.
Yeah, but what we're hoping and what we're expecting is that what we're able to develop in terms of new technologies to decrease the impacts of red tide when it occurs, that many of these technologies will also be transferable to other kinds of harmful algal blooms. There's hundreds of harmful algae all around the world.
Yeah, I've been really shocked to learn about all of these. There are a lot. It's disturbing.
Not all of them have the kind of toxin or the toxic impact that we'll see here, but there's a number of these harmful algal blooms all around the country and indeed all around Florida. So the technologies that are developed by this initiative, we're hoping and expecting that spinoffs will also be applicable to other kinds of harmful algal blooms, definitely within Florida and perhaps around the world. And in fact, it may be that we will be able to take this environmental disaster and actually have some broader impacts with developing these technologies that will not only decrease the impacts of red tide and harmful algal blooms to our economy, our quality of life, and to the environment, but also create a whole new economic engine of corporations that deploy these technologies around the world to help many countries clean up harmful algal blooms.
Yeah, it's definitely not just here. You know, we shared news of this bill's signing on our Facebook page, and we got a lot of comments from people who are just kind of tired of hearing about continued research and monitoring, and they're kind of looking for somebody to do something. Do you anticipate this resulting in something actually being – I know that research is very important, and having science to back up actionable things to try to mitigate. Do you foresee that becoming part of this?
That is at the core of this initiative, is doing exactly what those commenters are talking about. I can't tell you how many times I have heard people say to me, you've studied this for so long, can't you do something about it? And I've kept saying, well, yes, there are things we can do, but the funding isn't there to develop an applied science program to develop the initiatives, the technologies, which this initiative does. The money has been there to learn more about the dynamics, which we did need to do. But we've learned so much over the past couple of decades. As I say, this has been an incredibly productive science partnership with FWC and other partners, that we have the knowledge now to develop the technologies to actually do something about red tide. This initiative is going to bring together the best and the brightest scientists, not only from Florida, but from all around the world. We will utilize very innovative approaches and technologies to determine not only the most effective, but ecologically sound methods for mitigating the adverse impacts of red tide. Our bottom line is, do no greater harm with the treatment than the red tide is already causing to the environment. So I'm convinced, and in fact, that's why I urge the legislature to actually put a sunset clause in this bill, so that it is not, I know many of my brothers and sisters in the research community would probably accuse me of heresy, but this is the kind of applied science program that shouldn't go on indefinitely. We should be able to demonstrate that we can develop these technologies within 6 years. And so there is actually a sunset to this.
Well, it's kind of giving yourself
a
deadline.
I think is a good thing. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Deadlines help me get things done, too. So hopefully this will work in some way or other to make that happen. So what else is interesting, too, coming out of this last legislative session and Governor Ron DeSantis's actions is the spirit of collaboration. Do you anticipate Moat Marine working with other agencies they may not have worked with before and bringing them in to communicate different studies that have been done here and there, different shots in the dark here and there that may have had some sort of results, and incorporating that into the larger picture?
Yeah, most definitely. It's the intent of the legislative language, and it's actually in there in black and white, is to bring together public and private research entities. We've already been working with a number of other universities. Businesses are coming to us from all around the world, literally, with ideas that they have for how we might be able to use a product that they have or an approach that they have. And so we've actually got a long queue of different technologies that are waiting to be tested through our very controlled testing procedures. And we will be, as I said, we'll be bringing in the best and brightest minds from around the state of Florida and indeed around the world, because Moat can't do this by themselves. We've got probably one of the single strongest teams of red tide researchers any place in the world, along with our partners at FWC, because of the decades we've been working on this. But there's a lot of other great minds out there. We want to bring them all to bear. And I'll just use as an example the MOU that we recently signed with Florida Gulf Coast University.
With its new water school,
April. And this is really for the two institutions to partner together to look at harmful algal blooms broadly, red tide and the blue-green more specifically, and see how we can work together to transfer technologies and really through a synergy get much more than any single institution can possibly get. So collaborations and partnerships is absolutely central To this new initiative.
You know, after talking with you, I'm most excited to hear what comes of the harder look at the relationship between blue-green algae and red tide. And we're about out of time today, but I definitely want to follow up with you as these projects and researches, the research studies start going, because I really want to find out what you all learn. I know everybody in our listening audience is probably pretty interested in it, too. But I want to thank my guests.
I would appreciate you keeping our feet to the fire on this.
Well, there are a lot of questions. All right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Michael Crosby, the president and CEO of Moat Marine Laboratory in Sarasota. Thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
If you missed part of today's show, you can always hear episodes in their entirety on our website, gulfcoastlive.org, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcast. Our show today was produced by Mike Inire, John Davis, and myself. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1.